Johnny. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I am excited to be here today. There's a good group of you looking at me. Some of you look as tired as I feel. Sorry if I'm a little discombobulated this morning. I think I'm coming down with a cold, so I might sound a little bit nasally to you guys. You know, more so than normal. But I am excited to be here. I made a mistake because last week I apparently thought I told you that I wasn't going to be here last week. And I realized I told you that I was going to be here last week, and that's not what I meant at all. So I'm sorry about that. But I'm here today, and I'm excited to get back into the words of Jesus as spoken through the book of Matthew, especially as we help our youth prepare for LTC in less than 2 months. We are covering 28 chapters in Matthew in that time period. So we've got a lot of work to do, so let's get to it by opening with a word of prayer. Dear most heavenly and gracious Father, we thank you for our time as brothers and sisters in Christ to come to you and study your word. And as we know, as we move into our faith walk, it's always important for us to remember where we come from, and that means to look back at our roots. As we re-explore the Gospels, we remember the words of the Master Teacher and apply them to our lives. Help us understand what you have to teach us today. In your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. So, Paul? No, I'm not Paul. Yes, thank you. I do appreciate it. You know, it's been a struggle this last few days as I feel like I know I'm coming down with something, and I'm pretty sure it's a cold. But, you know, getting medical help is not always the easiest thing. A few months ago, I sat in a doctor's office, and he said, "I think you have anxiety." And I said, "Well, what if it's not anxiety? What if it's something more?" And he goes, "Well, I can schedule a pulmonology exam for you, or I could prescribe you some anxiety medication." And I go, "Well, I'd rather know that it's not the other thing than it is for anxiety." And no one wants to be told they have anxiety. I don't think that's a very happy. No one wants to be told they have issues at all. And so I went about a month later where a doctor gave me a test. And then a month later, I heard the results. He goes, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure you have breathing issues." So now I'm almost 6 months out, and I pretty much know exactly what I did months ago, which is absolutely nothing. And that is incredibly frustrating. And I feel like that for any of you who have gone through the medical profession, that while our country highly trusts doctors and nurses — my wife says I have to button my coat. Sorry, guys. I know that bothers Galen. why our country highly trusts doctors and nurses. They are consistently the most highly trusted people in our country. That trust has been in decline for years. And a lot of it is because we have things like we've just seen. We're spending 6 months just to find out what our issues are, and that is mostly before even treatment begun. And it's not just medical professionals, clergy, priests, ministers, anyone who shares the word of God. They are becoming less and less trusted in our world. They rank ninth overall. They've been declined since the 1950s, and in 2017, they hit their lowest decline ever. And a lot of reasons we don't trust these two groups of people is pretty much for the exact same things. Aside from money, I mean, too much money or lack of insurance, that leads to a lack of distrust. That really doesn't have anything to do with the church. But we don't trust them because they make mistakes. Do you know that the third most likely way for you to be killed in the United States is from malpractice of a doctor? Next to cancer and heart disease. I just learned that. I'm like, that is awful. Malpractice. I'd say it's probably the most likely way you're going to go to hell is by having a minister tell you the wrong thing and you follow it. Lack of transparency, difficulty finding someone you trust, ineffective professionals, lack of good care, lack of follow-up. These are all reasons we have not to trust the people that should be trustworthy in our lives. Fortunately, you don't have to trust me. I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm not asking you to trust your doctor, though probably get a second opinion if you're worried. If two people are telling you the same thing, then it's probably a good opinion. But we have someone much better, because we have the source. And that is what the Gospel of Matthew is all about, especially as we look at chapters 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. We are looking back towards the source. We learn about the master teacher who went all through the regions of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. He could even heal my cold if he was willing. And so this is who he is. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. You can't have the master teacher. You can't compartmentalize the master teacher into separate different parts, because he is the preacher, the teacher, and the healer, all rolled into one. And as easy as it is to look at the Sermon on the Mount and see that it is good practical application for us in our Christian lives, such as do not be angry, do not hate, treat other people as you wanted to be treated. That's good advice, right? But the same Jesus who taught those things is the same Jesus that healed the crowds. And we cannot separate those two. His personal works in power are inseparable from his teaching. As such, they go hand in hand. So when we look at one, we see the other. And that is why chapters 8 and 9 are pivotal to the gospel story. Do you know how many miracles take place between chapters 8 and 9? Do you know how many people are healed? I don't know the actual number, because in one place he just says many. Many came to Jesus to be healed of demon possession and diseases. But we look and we see that he did things like healed his mother-in-law, healed a leper, healed a paralytic, healed a blind person, a mute person, healed demon-possessed men. Because that's who he was. So when we look at these stories, we not only get a picture of who he is as the master teacher, but we see who we are as people who came to them through the eyes of those who lived in that day. And that's what I want to look at as we briefly examine these miracles, especially them as a whole. Look at these verses, chapter 8, verse 1, 5, 14, 18, 24, 2, 18, again in chapter 9, 27, and 32. These all illustrate the beginning of every single miracle in the Gospel of Matthew. And do you see? I know it's a lot of scripture. You don't have to really pay a whole lot of attention to it. But you will notice two common themes in the beginning of each one of these verses. Either the crowds followed him, or he sought them out, showing us two things that we know about the master teacher. The first one is that he spoke as someone who wanted to know. We probably all have our favorite musicians, or maybe you go to concerts, maybe go into Winterfest because they're excited to see some kind of a great singer or speaker or whatnot coming up. Why? Why do you do that? Because there is something about them that makes them desirable. But even more than that, there was something about this man where he looked and saw affliction. He saw a problem, and we see that he had compassion for these people. But it wasn't just that he had compassion for all these people that he came to, that came in his life, but he had this desire to do something about it. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, a leper comes and he says, "Lord, if you are willing, make me clean." What do we pray for? We pray for God's will. And God tells us, if you ask, it will be given to you. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open. But how much in our faith do we truly believe that? He's not asking for God's will here. He says, if you are willing, make me clean. And God responds, I am willing. Because that is how much he cared about the people. And the only thing stopping us is not God himself, but Jesus. I realize what I just said there. The only thing stopping it is not God, but us. We are stopping ourselves, whether it be fear or cowardice or whatnot. God says, I am willing. If only you knew who it was, you would ask and he would give to you. But it's not just that. We also know that God appreciates what we do. God appreciates matters of great faith and often rewards matters of great faith. And that's what we see in the centurion's story. The man who goes, I am a man of authority. And I know what authority looks like. And because I'm a man of authority, I see that you too are a man of authority. This is not, oh, well, I've got a boss and yeah, I see the work my boss does. Maybe I think I could do my work better than this boss. No, no, no. I know what it's like to be in charge. And when I tell someone to come, they come. And when I tell someone to go, they go. Because they know what it means to follow me. And so he says, because I know who you are and what you can do, I know all you have to do is do it. See, one of the things that I find most interesting about this story, and Jesus is like, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith, is that he doesn't need the show. He knows that Jesus doesn't need to be there to make the miracle happen. He says, say it will be done, and I know it will be done. So why do we need to show off? This man gets it. This man gets it, and God says, you got it. Truly, I have not seen faith greater than anyone. Stop wasting your time chasing miracles and follow God. Follow him. Jesus takes our illnesses and bears disease, as we've seen in the many, the few who are healed. The number is not matter. The number is not stated because it does not matter. I've been teaching the kids LTC, and we see through the book of Isaiah that this statement is both physically and spiritually profound. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. We are all sick. We are all hurting. We are all dying physically and both spiritually because of the exact same thing. And all of you know what that thing is. Is there anyone who doesn't know what that thing is? What is it? I want to hear you say it. Sin. Sin is killing us. Sin is making us sick. Well, so is the cold weather, but that's neither here nor there. But Jesus took it upon himself to fix the spiritually sick and the physically sick. And because of that, because he does it for us, the response is the same response that Peter's mother does when she is healed of her illness. What does say. It just says one simple line. She rose and began to serve him. He healed her, and immediately she got up. I hear so many people say, I will come when I feel better. And they wait, and they wait. But that is not as what illustrated here. She immediately got up and served him with all of her heart because she realized that was the only true response to the man that had healed her both physically and spiritually. Because I gotta tell you, the story takes a break from the miracles and it tells about three or four verses to illustrate there's a cost to following Jesus. Three people come to Jesus, and two of them, one of them says, I will follow you wherever you go. And he says, you are not ready to pay the cost. Because foxes have holes and birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus knew what was in his heart, and he knew it was not yet time for that man to pay the cost. So he sent him on his way. But another, he says, follow me. And he says, I will, but first, let me go bury my father. Was he ready to pay the cost? No. He says, for let the dead bury the spirit, let the dead bury the dead. But as for you, you follow me. We serve him at the cost of our own life. And that he heals the physical deformities of our life. He heals us in heaven. We need to turn it all over to him. Because there's nothing in this world that could come close to who he is. He is stronger than the forces of evil, as we see when coming upon two demon-possessed men. What have you to do with us, O Son of God? They knew who he was. And they knew what was going to happen to him. But was it their time? No. But in the temporary, he would deal with that because he had authority over them. But more importantly, he had authority over sins. I read this story in Matthew chapter 8, and part of the skeptic of me sees the story, and I see that I think it's fair for the Pharisees to say, what gives you this right to say your sins are forgiven? So someone walks into this church right now and says, all of your sins are forgiven. I'd say, yeah, sure. In the name of Jesus. That's right, right? In the name of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. He goes, no. In my name, all of your sins are beginning. I might think he's crazy. I think it's their right to think that they're crazy. They should question his power. But they didn't want that. That wasn't their reason. Their skepticism wasn't the problem. It was the fact that they cared more about their power. And he says to them, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to rise up and take up your mat and walk? Which one is easier? Certainly seems easier to physically say your sins are forgiven. But think of what God had to do that. Doctors can fix this problem. Doctors can help you rise up and walk. Maybe not all the time, but some of the time. God took thousands of years and the death of himself to fix this problem. So Jesus rhetorically asked, which one is easier? And he did both. For it's certainly harder to forgive sins than to heal the physical bodies. And no matter who we are, we can't hide it from him. We can't pretend to move through the world seeking his power when we want it, when it is convenient for us. But he will reveal the hearts of men. And his work is powerful. Certainly no laughing matter. I like this story right here where it says, they heard and say, go away, for the girl is not dead, and they laughed at him. They mocked him. Probably in the way that Sarah laughed when she heard she would have a child, or the way Zechariah laughed when he heard that he would have a child, but not in the way when Mary did. No. They laughed because they realized that this was a ridiculous situation, much in the way we might laugh in an awkward situation. But he says, no, she is not dead. She is only asleep. And if she was dead, then he had that power to heal her too. Because death and time are not obstacles to Jesus. This is what the Gospel of Matthew illustrates. That he could do what no one else could do before him. The last two miracles we see, blindness. Not really what we would think, oh, okay, blindness. He's healed everything else and he heals blindness. Well, why bother with blindness at this point? Because no one else had ever fixed that problem before. No one else in all of the Old Testament was ever healed with blindness. But it's not about the physical blindness they had, but the spiritual blindness that blinds people from seeing the truth. And if we know the truth, that truth will set us free. Let's skip this last one and move on. There are many people we will know in our lives. Many people, for various reasons, we will either trust because time and effort spent with them, did not trust because of the way they treat us, put us off, or talk down to us. But God is not one of those people. God is not someone who is ever going to abandon us in our time of need. So why do we push so much time and effort into avoiding Him? Why do we always say things like, I should pray more. I should read my Bible more. I should come to church more. Nothing is stopping you, certainly not God. The only thing stopping you from doing all of those things is yourself. The miracles are just one part of who God is. Miracles are just one part of who God is. But it is still something that we should look towards to in our reading to help us bridge the gap in understanding His will and what He wants for us. And God's power should constantly keep us in awe without leaving us behind. There's a great story. But fortunately for us, it's better than a story. It's life. And it is life worth living. Have you been transformed by His power and His miracles? If you have, I hope that's a wonderful thing that you understand. But if you haven't, that's something we can do for you. If you'd like to come forward for any reason, feel free to do so as John leads us in song.